Brother Hubert Yates is going to be our speaker this afternoon, and I'd ask that you give him your very close attention and an interest in your prayers.
Your close attention is something naturally that everybody that's speaking up here would like to have. This is true. But your prayers and your prayerful attention is one thing that I always need. I'm not going to stand this afternoon and tell you and I that I'm going to bring something new, or that I'm going to speak on something that's new and tell you that it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the subject in which I am going to speak on this afternoon has been taught all down through the generations of time. It was even taught by the individual who walked on the face of this earth, whom they crucified, the Son of God. And not only did he teach by word of mouth, but he did exercise in his life, that he and we might have an example of those things in which we must apply to our lives to have life hereafter. We find that as Christ walked upon the face of this earth, like it was expressed this morning, that there was never a greater sermon preached across a pulpit than the way an individual lives their life. This is the important thing. Not that we know, not that we can't go from the very beginning to the end of the scriptures and say, well, now, brothers and sisters, here it is. We have this all down pat, and you'll find in such and such a writing that says thus and so and quote it. That's not enough. That's only a beginning. If we come to an understanding of those things, then the important thing is that we apply it to our lives. Not occasionally, but constantly. And it is love that I would like to speak on this afternoon. I thought for a while there this morning that Brother McIndoo was going to do it for me, and I'm just going to turn it over to him and say, well, folks, listen to what he said this morning, and that'll handle it this afternoon. But love is something that you and I cannot go down like many others. The fruits of the Spirit that he spoke of this morning, there's not a one of them that you can go down and purchase from the store. You can't go and say, well, now I'm a little short on this end, folks, so I'm going to go down and buy me a bag full. That's impossible. It can't be done. It's something that you have to, within yourself, see the need of and apply it to your life. Now, love, there's many definitions of love according to different peoples. One is to be fond of. We know this is true. A strong affection for or an attachment to or devotion to a person or persons. This is right. God's concern for mankind. The feeling of brotherhood that people should have for each other. Do we have that? The feeling of brotherhood that people should have for each other. You know, this covers a multitude of things. This then goes into the Christ teachings from the very beginning. And what did he teach? He came and he taught love, and he taught understanding, and he taught that we should love one another, and that we should love God. Let's see what John, in 1 John, we find in the 4th chapter, beginning in the 7th verse. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. You know, love and exercising love in our life for each other and for our neighbors does not always come easy. It doesn't come easy in our life. It's something that has to be worked for hard. It's something that we don't just have a chance to lay down, and when somebody transgresses against us, as we feel, this is not easy many times to go back and see the individual. As I have heard one say, you love them, not always their ways. This sometimes is hard. This is true. But we know that it is a necessity, each of us here, recognizing the fact that the times that the prophets have said is a time of close to the end is now. We here today are looking prior, in the near future, for the coming of what we call Zion, where man and woman must go and live with one another. And not only that, brothers and sisters, but of every race, creed, and color is going to be there, barring none, for he is a respecter of no one. And in that dispensation of time, love and understanding and the fruits of the Spirit, charity, and as Don said this morning, gentleness and long-suffering is going to have to be applied to your life and to mine daily. And we're going to have in our life what? A desire to follow the footsteps of the Master of men when he walked the face of this earth, and loved all those for whom he come in contact with, and not just part, but all, and exercise it as oft as he exercised it, and that was continually. This must be done within the hearts of the people. We want a Zion. You and I want to draw ourselves closer unto Christ. We want to come to a greater understanding of him and his philosophy of life that we might enter in. And by doing so, we have to exercise love for one another. Because we cannot exercise hatred for one another and say that it is of God, for it is not. And we cannot have tolerance one for another, and we cannot stand and say, well, yeah, he's pretty good, but that's the way it is. We must learn to live with one another. Not only to pray together, brothers and sisters, but we must learn to love the gospel of Jesus Christ and exercise it daily in our life. Is it new? No. There's nothing new in the gospel of Christ. that he has brought forth for you and I right now, today, in this dispensation of time, that you and I need to enter in the kingdom of heaven. He has given you and I a pattern. He has given us a way that we might enter in. Just as he did of those of old, you and I are under that same pattern. You and I are under the same instructions and the same word as he was walking on the mount, each of us. What did he say? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Yes. Because God is love. He exercised love. He has exercised love for you and I all down through the pages of time. He has exercised this love for you and I. As they sang this song, that beautiful song, what'd they say? So gentle and sweet. Yes, yeah, so gentle and sweet. His gospel is gentle and sweet. Not just for him, but for all those who partake of it. And all those who stand and say, yes, I am a Christian. If you're a Christian, and if I'm a Christian, we're going to apply the things in which Christ applied in his life. This is what each of us has to work for constantly. What is an example? Let me give you an example of love. One that you and I can apply to our life. That's right. We pick up a little child when it gets out of line. And we blister it and we send it back down and we tell it, now you're not to do that no more. And 10 minutes later, that same little child that you got after will crawl up in your lap and put their arms around you and kiss you and tell you, I love you. Can you and I exercise such love for one another? Can we go when we feel somebody has transgressed against us and put our arm around them and love them? It's not enough to say, well, everything's all right, well, forget it, everything's okay. That's not it. We must be as that little child. Because when they say that they love you and they put their arms around you, they do. That's the important thing. It doesn't make any difference whether we're looking at children or whether we're looking at Mother Nature. You know, I was standing out working on a canal out in Phoenix, way out, well, it'd be north and east of Phoenix, out in the Glendale area. And right there along the water's edge, why, there's a lot of dragonflies. And these dragonflies are fluttering around the water, eating there constantly. And one of them got to dipping just a little too close, and into the water he went. And he was laying there in the water. And I was standing up there, and I saw it dip in the water and was laying there. And immediately flying over comes some more, and they flew over that dragonfly, and they saw him laid out there in the water, and one of them come right down like that and just hovered over him immediately. Just like a helicopter, and they just reached down and just picked him up. And they held that other dragonfly until it worked its wings and got the water off of it so it can fly. And then it turned it loose, and it could navigate on its own. How often, brothers and sisters, do we reach down? And do we take the time to stop and help those who are having problems? Do we? Do we take the time? Do we show the brotherly love to reach down and pick them up and not turn our back upon them? And hold them until they can stand on their own? This is what Christ taught. This is His teaching. These are the things that He brought forth unto those individuals who were listening to Him and watched His example. He held them. He taught them. He did everything He could, and He sent them a comforter that they might stand on their own and hold steadfast to those things in which He taught. And so He expects you and I today to do the same. There are many times in my humanness that I dead sure need somebody to pick me up by the bootstraps. And I'm not kidding anybody. I know it. And if there wasn't those around sometimes to help do so, I'd be in awful bad shape and I might not be standing here today. And each of you that's sitting out there today might not be sitting there either if it hadn't been for one who took the time to teach and exercise the love and the understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ in your life. You wouldn't be seeking for the spiritual meeting that we had this morning. You wouldn't be seeking for association with loved ones in the gospel bonds of Jesus Christ. These, through love and through understanding and through desire, we always come unto Him. This is how we come unto Him, is through love. Brother Jordan was citing the fact that about as much as you've done this unto the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. This is true. This is true. You don't have to come to me and say, well, old Hugh Gates there now, he's a pretty good old boy. He's right there in the church. We'll just go over and shake his hand. That's not enough. You should be ready to shake any individual's hand. You should be ready to exercise the love that's within you to any individual that you come in contact, as Christ said, that you might glorify. Glorify who? That your light might so shine that you will glorify your Father in heaven. This is true, that we might live it. I'd like to read in the 5th chapter of Matthew, beginning with the 43rd verse. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. This is Christ speaking. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Say, that's quite something to take on, isn't it? But I say, who? Christ. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, brothers and sisters, we come into the working of the gospel of Christ, and we come in to the example that Christ brought. When we get to the point that we can love our enemies, pray for those who despitefully use us, this is what we are trying to and striving for. We want a Zion. We want a fit. Yes. We want a fit bride for Christ to come to. Yes, we do. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. We can have a bride, and it doesn't always have to be fit. We might have an individual. I've used this example before, but I'll use it again today. We might have one that does not have any legs. And she might go out, and she might sit down and she might be the best seamstress in the world. Or she might go and paint pictures and excel farther than Brother Jones. Or she might be a better school teacher than Brother McIndoe. And she might excel in many different things, brothers and sisters, but nevertheless, when you get all through, she's still a handicap. The Church of Christ, if they're lacking love and understanding, and the love that comes with brotherhood, and the fruits of the Spirit, which is charity, yes, joy, happiness, where do we receive those things? Where are we going to have that life more abundant? By applying those things to our lives. And unless the Church of Christ has those things and it's exercised daily among all those who gather together and among those individuals who are isolated, then we have a handicapped bride for the bridegroom to come to. And every one of us here can handicap that bride. We say we're a member thereof. If we're a member thereof, we must be obedient to His commandments. And we must follow after the pattern that Christ has laid down before the children of men. Generations, yes, before our time, but I change not. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, was His word. And there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And so those things have to be exercised in our life today, as well as those individuals that stood and heard Him utter from His own mouth the gospel of Christ and the love and the understanding that you and I must give to our neighbor and to our fellow man. Let's go a little further here in the 5th chapter of Matthew's. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Pardon me, let's go down one more. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? Yes. It's easy for you and I. It's easy for me to love my wife. She loves me. It's easy, brothers and sisters, for me to come here and love all of you and put my arm around you and just love to see you and hate to go. Yes. But this isn't enough. Even the publicans did that. But we must also love our enemies. We all must also love those who despitefully use us. We must love all those individuals. That's the teachings of the Master. Not just those who love us, and it's easy to love, but we must put to use always love and understanding for one another. This is the only way that we can gather together. This is the only way that you and I can live side by side in harmony, is by exercising what God stood for. And we have read that God is love. We know that love without charity, love without the many things, if you have love, what will you have? You'll have charity, won't you? If you love an individual, you'll endeavor to do something for them, won't you? But if you don't love them, how quick do you endeavor to help them? If you have a neighbor that you've had a row with and you can't get along with at all and you're fighting him continually, how quick will you go over and help him overhaul his car? Or how quick will you help him rebuild his house? Or how quick will you go over and help him do anything that he's doing other than hinder? This is what we're getting after. You know, brothers and sisters, we know according to the times, we know according to our newspapers, we know to the article that Brother Don wrote about the times, and the many individuals that stand in the pulpit and those who you talk with in their homes, each of us recognize the fact that we are living prior to the coming of Christ. We are living in what is known as the 11th hour. Whether we like it or not, we are. And whether we like it or not is still that time. And we can't do anything about it. But there is something we can do. We can exercise in our life love and understanding for one another and a desire to get along and do away with contention. Yes, and that's not all. We can diligently seek His wisdom, and I want you to take notice, His wisdom, not man's, not mine. I might stand before you here today and I might say lots of things. But that's no sign of right. That's no sign of right at all. Seek His wisdom. Seek His understanding. Seek His teachings. Then, apply them to your lives. And if He was to come tomorrow, you would be ready. Far too often, we find ourselves, including myself, we have a tendency to think, well, that was back when. I think times has changed. Times has not changed according to His philosophy. Not one iota. Not even the littlest bit has it changed. And that's not all. It never will. My children will be under the same doctrine. My children will be under the same gospel, will be under the same Father in heaven as I, and as my grandfather and his grandfather and his grandfather clear on back to the beginning of time. And they, each one of them, will be expected to apply in their life the very same thing if we are going to stand and say we are God's children. And there will be no variableness. No variableness at any time. Oh, yes. Does this mean that you and I can't receive an understanding? Does this mean that He cannot guide and direct you or I by revelation? No, this does not. But I'll tell you one thing, brothers and sisters. When He guides and directs you and I by revelation and by the Spirit of God, you'll find the teachings of God and none other. This is always true. Whenever you work diligently to come to His understanding, we have a promise that we will receive that. We will receive that understanding. What understanding? Ours? Not if we seek properly. We seek His understanding. That's the important thing. And by seeking His understanding and by having the ability and forcing ourselves when we walk over and look in the mirror and say, well, okay, Hugh Yates, you're standing here with your bare face hanging out, but nevertheless, that man that I see in the mirror, as Brother Jordan said last night, T.J. Jordan, well, Hubert Yates, best wake up. Because it's Hubert Yates that I'm dealing with, not the ones that I see before me. It's Hubert Yates that has to come over to the side of Christ. It's Hubert Yates that has to see to it that he applies love and understanding in his life. It's Hubert Yates that sees to it that he applies in his life the fruits of the Spirit constantly. And I cannot do that for any other individual in this room. Each one has to do it for themselves. I'd like to go to the Book of Mormon concerning these things. And I'd like to read in the 7th chapter of Moroni, and I'm sure that there are many of you who have read this and they know just exactly what I am going to read. But I want you to pay particular notice to this man as he was bringing the things out which is pertinent to each one of us here today. Beginning in the 45th verse, he says, "And again, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you concerning hope. How is it that ye can attain unto faith, save ye shall have hope? And what is it that ye shall hope for? Behold, I say unto you that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection to be raised unto eternal life, and this because of your faith in him according to the promise. Wherefore, if a man hath faith, he must needs have hope, for without faith there cannot be any hope. And again, behold, I say unto you that he cannot have faith and hope save he shall be meek and lowly of heart." Meek and lowly of heart. Their song, gentle in the sweetness of his voice. "If not so, his faith and hope are vain. For none is acceptable before God save the meek and the lowly of heart. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart and confess by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must need have charity." Yes, he must needs to have charity. "And charity suffereth long and is kind and envieth not and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easy provoked." No, is not easy provoked. "Thinketh no evil and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ." Charity is the pure love of Christ. "And it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day..." Whoa, wait a minute. Let's go back and read this again. "And whosoever is found possessed of it at the last day..." Say, that must cover you and I, doesn't it? "It shall be well with them." Yes, this is the last day. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of the Son Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, and when he shall appear, we shall be like unto him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure." That's not very many words, actually, just a couple paragraphs, but it sure means a lot, doesn't it? That brings this hope and this understanding and this pure love that brings it right down and sets it on our lap in the last days. As a matter of fact, These are the things in which he expects you and I to apply to our lives. And again, in the 8th chapter, we find, beginning in the 29th verse, the fruits of repentance is baptism. Now let's go a little further. And baptism cometh by faith into fulfilling the commandments. And the fulfilling the commandments bringeth remissions of sins, and the remissions of sins bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart. And because of meekness and lowliness of heart cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost, which comforted Philip. And hope and perfect love, which love endureth by diligence unto prayer. Yes. How does it endure? By diligence unto prayer. Until the end shall come, when all the saints shall dwell with God. This love, this charity, this understanding, this gentleness that we should have for one another, that must be applied constantly as we walk with one another, talk with one another. This is kept by diligence in prayer, seeking Him, not by the word of mouth, but with the heart. And as the sister said this morning, not by keeping the door of your heart closed, for we know according to the scripture that He stands and knocks, but by opening up that door that He might enter in, that you and I might prepare ourselves for His coming, and that we might adorn His bride with righteousness and not that in which would be displeasing before Him. This is what we need to do. You know, in Mark, in the 9th chapter, speaking of the time of Christ was baptized, we know that the heavens opened up and the dove descended upon His shoulder. And we know that He said, "This is My beloved Son." Is that all He said? No. He said, "Hear Him." Hear who? Not me, brothers and sisters, but that beloved Son. Do we hear Him? Have we heard Him? Are we applying those things to our life? Hear Him. Has it just gone through from ear to ear? Or have we actually heard? Have we actually heard the gentleness and the love that He has bestowed upon each of us? And the care and the many hours that we have sought Him. Have we heard His voice? And have we put it to use? That's what it said. It said, "Hear Him." If you love Me, keep My commandments. That's hearing Him. And there's a multitude of commandments to be kept, and they're all hinged on love for one another and love for your brothers and sisters. That love that you and I have to apply to our lives doesn't always come easy. But we need to have the love. We need to have the love that the Master of men set example. And if we could duplicate it, brothers and sisters, we would have a better bride to come to. Because it was pure love. When He looked down upon those individuals and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Can we do so? Can we have someone taking this physical life today and still exercise from our heart that love and look down upon them and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? This is the love that the Master of Men himself exercises as a witness to you and I, of his Father and of his love and his mercy, and once again of the beautiful example that he has showed all through his walk, even though short, on this earth, to exercise compassion and love for one another. Self-righteousness. He not only taught by the word of mouth, he not only caused scribes to write, he not only moved upon individuals to keep record of these things, but yet we see where he exercised each one of them daily, hourly, in his life. This, brothers and sisters, is what you and I must do. Not only among our own groups, not only among our own church people, but every individual we come in contact with, we must exercise understanding. We must take time for each of them. We must see their needs if possible and help them to the best of our ability. We must not turn our back upon them, for he come not for the righteous but for the sinner, and the whole need not a physician but those who are sick. This is what each of us must apply to our lives. We know that that Christ, while he walked the face of this earth, he caused the blind to see, he raised the dead, he healed all manner of sickness, he did all these things. And he did it because he was obedient to his Father. And so also we must be obedient to him and his commandments. And we must look forward to an understanding of him. We must look forward to his coming, because it's not long. And we must prepare ourselves. We must prepare ourselves. I must prepare Hugh Gates. You must prepare yourself for his coming, that he might look down and say, enter in, ye faithful servant. This is what we must work for constantly. It is my prayer today that each of us might have the ability and might have the faith and the understanding in the Almighty God, that we might apply that love within our life and that charity, that in times come which are around the corner, that we might be able to stand also before him